We go live to Ukraine right now with our daily check-in with Joseph Lindsley. Joseph, good morning to you, or good afternoon to you.
Wendy, good afternoon. Great to speak with you again, and hello from the city of Lviv. I was in the mountains yesterday, but I'm back now in this western Ukrainian city.
Okay, now the reports we're getting here is Ukrainian forces have counted more gains on the battlefield, with President Zelensky hailing, quote, more good news from the front lines in his nightly address on Tuesday. What do you have for us on that?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we're seeing, I'd say, steady and if not even increasing progress with, especially right now. So a couple of weeks ago, Ukraine made amazing sort of territorial gains. We could say, you know, liberated Ukrainian towns and villages in the Kharkiv region, which is northeastern Ukraine. And now in the past days, we've seen success in the southern region of Kherson, which is on the Black Sea. That region has been occupied since the early weeks of the war. You know, this is one of the most bountiful, probably it might even be the most bountiful region of Ukraine. It's known in particular for its watermelons. It has very rich soil. So the global food supply disruption, a lot of that has been because the Russians have occupied this territory and prevented goods from leaving Ukraine to the Black Sea. And so what we've had in the past days are villages and towns along the Dnipro River, which flows into the Black Sea, so at the northern part of the Kherson territory. And steadily, Ukrainians are making progress. They're getting closer and closer to the capital city of that region. So this is great momentum. I think it's what we see is Ukrainians, when they had that Kharkiv offensive, they planned it secretly. Probably they were planning it for months. It surprised the Russians. It surprised the world. And now we see that they are using sort of that energy and momentum to keep taking territories back from the Russians. Meanwhile, Putin, you know, at this point when the Russian army looks the weakest, Putin is even bolder. He's claiming these territories as Russian land, as part of the Russian Federation. I think that was finalized yesterday. And so these territories, which not only Russia has never even occupied the totality of these territories, but they're actually losing ground that they gained. And now Putin is claiming this is Russian land. And he's saying that if the United States continues to be the leader in shipping weapons to Ukraine, it's going to turn into a war between the United States and Russia. So he's escalating his rhetoric. As I mentioned yesterday, talking with Bob, you know, there are, even here, people are a little bit worried about the nuclear question. But at the same time, there is a great energy because of the gains on the ground.
The nuclear question, who benefits from that? Really? I mean, I hear it and it's like, oh, yeah, nuclear holocaust is going to happen. Who wins if that comes to be?
Well, and I think no one, but I think people, Putin knows that it's because of that, the question scares everybody. And everyone, you know, well, we know we can't trust what Russia says. You know, I mean, he's sort of seen as the madman in the Kremlin. He wants to be seen that way because it makes the world afraid of him and it makes people a little more reluctant to negotiate. But you do see, I think, especially the countries that suffered under Soviet tyranny and the countries that are close to the border of Ukraine, they know, they feel they have to call the bluff here because they know that they will live in perpetual fear of Russia if they don't call that bluff. And so Poland's leadership is now, today they said they want to form some kind of nuclear sharing alliance with the United States and with others. And I think there's a sense that we can, as long as we're afraid of it, Putin will have the power to keep the world in his thrall. I think a lot of experts, and there is always debate on this, but a lot of people say that Putin has to realize if he were to use, you know, if he were to use nuclear weapons, even the tactical ones that are sort of a little bit smaller, that he would be in big trouble and it would cause chaos for the world. And the other big question, Putin probably needs the backing of China. And does China really want a nuclear war? I mean, they have such, you know, great economic prowess, and they're very good at maintaining and growing that. Do they really want a nuclear war? And so I think that China might be a moderating voice here. But the nuclear fear, I mean, it's powerful. Even, you know, and Ukrainians today are talking about Elon Musk. I don't know if you guys came across this, but he tweeted yesterday. He's been a big supporter of Ukraine since the beginning of the war. He sent over Starlinks, which have enabled, you know, the communication among Ukrainian units is phenomenal, in large part thanks to these Starlink satellites, whereas Russian communication has been terrible. So Elon has been a hero for Ukrainians until yesterday. Yesterday, he tweeted that Ukraine, we need peace. We can't have these nuclear fears. We need to have peace. Ukraine needs to negotiate, he said. Ukraine needs to give up the Crimean Peninsula, which the Russians took in 2014. And Ukrainians are pretty upset about it. But perhaps Elon is sort of falling prey to this nuclear fear.
Okay, who is he to, like, tell, you know, military people what to do? I mean, easy, dude. Yeah.
Well, and also, you know, he's very adept at using Twitter, which I guess he's on the edge of trying to own.
Yeah.
Tesla fell short in its quarterly vehicle delivery by a significant number. I forget, it was like 20,000 vehicles. Maybe he's trying to change the story away from that with a provocative tweet. So anytime we see tweets, we have to realize that they're probably designed to be provocative. But I think the more serious point underneath it, you know, Ukrainians say, if you make any peace deal with Russia, it's just like what Winston Churchill was warning about in the 1930s. You cannot make a peace deal with Hitler because he's never going to stop. It's only going to embolden him and give him time to get stronger. And, you know, in 2014, Russia took Crimea Peninsula, the Crimean Peninsula from Ukraine, and Washington and Brussels and the world did nothing. They sent a couple of blankets, I think, to Ukrainian soldiers, but they didn't do anything. And now the whole world is suffering, you know, because Russia was able to embolden itself these past 8 years. And so Ukrainians say this has to stop now.
All right. Well, I do understand. Dave was telling me yesterday, I didn't hear when you were on with Bob, but things were very tense and it seems a little bit better today.
Yeah, you know, and that's part of the weird thing of the emotions of wartime. But yesterday, you know, I was in the mountains, so in a peaceful place, but even the people I was with, everyone was hearing messages from friends and family in Lviv and other parts of Ukraine, and there was this heavy feeling that feeling's still there, but you learn to live with it, right? So yesterday was a bit of a heavy feeling about there could be some new attack. We did have a couple air raid alarms yesterday, you know, and which, you know, we had a couple weeks of quiet, and now these alarms are starting to come back, and you do have to listen to say, is this a nuclear warning or just a standard warning? So there still is that bit of tension, but you have to, you know, you joke about it, and then you're able to find the energy to move on.
All right. Well, stay safe. Great to hear from you. Great to talk to you once again. And best of luck to you out there. I just really admire you and you being our eyes and ears over there, Joseph.
Thank you, Wendy. Always great to talk with you from Ukraine.